Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first SC Report podcast for season 2020. Everyone would have known that the Supercoach app has dropped. Teams are out, so everyone's beginning to chop and change with, I'm sure, what will be their first iteration of about 7 billion teams to come over the next month and a bit. We're bringing to you not one of the usual guests that we have here. In fact, it's his first, or it's his debut on this podcast. He's replacing Wen in Rome, who's unfortunately working this weekend. I can see him behind me here plugging away, but we've got more than a capable set of hands to cover for him. And I welcome to the podcast for the first time, Benny G.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for that. I got big shoes to fill by the sounds, but
if you've listened to us before, you know they're not that big. it was a rough stretch last season. Let's just put it that way. But
he was all right. He was all right.
He went okay. Yeah. It's more the that steak bet we had with that Wilf and Guy on the Champs podcast. He was fuming with me for that whole season. I definitely let the team down. But anyway, the best part is it's a brand new season. Everyone starts on the same score and we're good to go. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself. So what brought you to the Supercoach world?
I can remember playing Supercoach probably back in 2006. I think it was just available on the Fox Sports website. Mm. The scoring was very different. The pricing was very different. I think your gun second rows were priced at 8.0, and I think you only had 100. I think the salary cap was just 100 points, I guess, rather than dollars. I think I just started playing with mates. Didn't really take it too seriously. Can still remember Hindy killing it, Alan Tung. Anthony Lafranchi, he was actually pretty good one over then. I think Mark Minicello was decent at once as well. And then ever since then, maybe in the early 2010s, I started playing all sorts of different fantasy games in Supercoach. I've played nearly every single Supercoach game or fantasy game.
I honestly do not think there is a fantasy game that you do not play. So last season, yep. Talk about not just NRL, AFL, you got EPL, yeah. NFL, and you're in all these draft leagues, you're in tipping comps. You're getting married this year. I don't know how Katie puts up with it, but that's just who you are. But let's talk about, this is one of the reasons you're here, is that you absolutely killed it on all of those last season.
Yeah, well, I feel like probably about 3 years ago I had a pretty good season, and I was like, I've always played head-to-head, and I was like, all right, let's give it a crack at overall. And I was pretty much around the 1,000 mark most of the season and probably dropped out. I think the last few rounds I kind of didn't do too well. And then 2 years ago, I pretty much the same boat. And then I tried to go against the grain towards the end when the Roosters had that massive run home. And I was so against Valentine Holmes and he just absolutely killed me. So I think I ended about 2,000-ish. Last year, managed to finish at 435th, so that's my best year so far. I was down at 100 for a little bit, and then I kept going back up to 1,000 and then back down. The Cleary 180 in the last round really helped. I play AFL Supercoach as well, and I came 200th in that one, so that was pretty cool too, but we're not here to talk about AFL, thank you.
We are definitely not here to talk about AFL, thank you very much. But should warn you though, this podcast is almost the kiss of death, because I came on it and I'd had a similar season to you, killed it. So it was a one-off, because obviously last year I had a look at the ranking, it was like 16,000th or something. I thought it was worse, I had a feeling in my head it was much worse, but just you see the tail off after the bye, when I've just captained Michael Morgan every week, just to piss Lange off really. But it wasn't a great year, but anyway, enough said about season 2019, we're here to talk about season 2020.
That's correct.
This pod here, it's just going to be a little quick intro, just a bit of a general update on some of the rule changes, some of the key positional movements, people that you've got your eye on there, and just we'll talk about what we're going to do over the preseason. We don't generally tend to do too many podcasts pre-season, but we've decided this year that with yours and Lakey's help, that we'll do a few team previews. We'll talk about some of the trials that are going on and the NRL Nines. It's a big, big pre-season coming up, so a lot to get through.
Lots of injuries to happen.
Oh, boy. Tommy Turbo last year, ring a bell. Pre-season, that one, I think the hammy, and then it was just a sign of things to come for him. So definitely got to keep your eye out for these sort of things over the coming weeks. But just a little bit on Supercoach. So there's been a couple of rule changes in the off-season that the NRL have introduced. So the most notable of these will be the 20-40 rule. So possibly, it's hard to tell so early on how that's going to impact, but you would imagine a few players, the Clearys and DCEs, would really benefit from that.
Yeah, and I sort of read that it was utilised throughout the Q Cup last year. I don't think too many players used the 20-40. I'm not really too sure why, but especially being a Cowboys fan like yourself, we get trapped in our own 20 quite a bit. So if Morgo and whoever we choose at the other half position develop that and add that to their game, that could be really useful for us and Supercoach points as well.
Very interesting to see. Maybe they'll trot it out in the trials, but I think it's just a risky play. Because if you stuff it up and you're kicking from your own 20, and you know, it puts the other team right on the attack. So it'd be interesting to see, but as you said, it's a big pressure reliever. The other ones that they have changed are the scrum rule now. Your attacking team can choose where on the field they want to take the scrum from, and also the challenge system. So that's a pretty interesting one there. So it's sort of a captain's challenge, one per team. Won't impact Supercoach, but definitely going to shake a few things up in the NRL world. One thing I do wish they had have changed, and I'm shocked that they didn't, is the stripping rule. So in terms of Supercoach, that is. We saw last year guys like Josh Hodgson, Cameron Munster, absolute guns at stripping.
Absolute thief.
Absolutely. And yet they haven't brought in, I thought for sure, that's what one thing we're going to see. And that would be huge. Imagine like some guy like Josh Hodgson, who's floating around that sort of mid to upper tier, but never quite kicked on. That's the sort of thing that could push him into that upper echelon. But we'll wait and see. Maybe that's one they'll do down the track. But it's definitely it was a big thing last year in the NRL.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So moving on, we've got just a couple of little things to get through here. Obviously, you've had a run through of your first side. You've managed to get a full 25 in. I didn't get that far. So I got to about six forwards to stick into about $1 million worth of salary cap and just gave up and deleted it for another week, but you've given it a go. Who was the first picked in your side?
The first picked, I guess, because I generally, when you go to select your team, it starts off with your number nine. So Cookie was my first picked. First person I thought to bring in my team was Payne Haas. He's just a captain option every week. He just killed it for me last year. I've got fond memories considering I picked him up when he was bottom dollar. So it was Cookie, Payne Haas, Nathan Cleary, and Pappenhausen. I think that were the first four in my team. I kind of tried to build the team around those four. I utilized the intelligent auto pick. I don't know if you saw that as the feature.
See that. But I gave you Trent Merrin. So Mez is back. We'll see.
It's 400k, I think, something like that. So see how many minutes he picks up. But yeah, until I know exactly who's playing, especially the rookies, I didn't really know what I was really inputting. I was just trying to see what kind of team I could form around with, depending how many guns I go with, how many rookies, how many mid-prices. I've had a few plays around, but I think I'm just going to leave it for a little bit and just follow those injuries and try and find those value picks, which I'm hoping we can do on this pod.
That's what we plan on doing. But the thing is, it's just, I was having a look in terms of trying to find cheapies in the side. That is a big issue this year. Even just like center wings and second row, normally they're stacked with it, but it's just so hard to tell this early on. We're even looking at some expected team lists, and there's not a lot of bottom dollar options there. So it's going to make the likes of Cleary and Lolo and Cook and those sort of guys really difficult to fit into your side.
Yeah, and I think it's, yeah, if there's not many cheapies, it just means we're going to have to utilise a lot of mid-prices, and that's just so risky. I think last year we had so many cheapies that we could get any in round one or maybe even like round two, three, four. But you generally don't want to have too many mid-prices. You've got to just utilise how many guns you want. I guess it's either guns and rookies, or you go guns, a lot of mid prices, and then just have a few rookies on the bench. But I'm not really sure how I'm going to fit in this year.
I kind of like that, though, because I kind of like that there's not a lot of sure things. Like, everyone's going to start with the same cookie cutter side. So, I don't know, I kind of think it opens it up. And I love, like, the idea of having to pick the right mid price, because there's a lot of plotters in Supercoach. There's a lot of, like, 300, 400k forwards. Everyone thinks they're a big name, or they might be due for more minutes, and they just turn into, like, they make nothing for you during the year.
Yeah, I think Joe Offengawi was a perfect example of that one last year.
God, so Wenham was really big on him in round one, I remember that.
Didn't he?
He had a bit of a stinker and never really kicked on. So
I think when Haas just got all the minutes, his minutes just dropped. He just couldn't do it. His points per minute is still great. He just doesn't have the minutes. And, yeah, like you said, we just got to try and pick those ones that are going to get that extra 20 minutes or even 10 minutes to prove the difference.
Well, just think back. Payne Haas was, what, 180k at the start of last year. And this year he's, I think, 700,000 plus. So for an 80-minute forward, though, that's absolute gold in Supercoach. So, yeah, definitely one of my first picked as well. But the first one, I didn't go the hook. I just went lock in James Tedesco. Other thought, just put the bloke in. He is so good. And in that fullback position, last year it was Tommy Turbo and Teddy at the start of the year. Everyone was looking at those two. But now you've got the likes, as you said, of Ryan Pappenhausen. So, and AJ Brimson, Valentine Holmes. There's a few of these mid-rangers floating around. Suddenly makes the idea of having the Teddy-Turbo combination maybe not as enticing. And in that regard, first player I locked in was James Tedesco. Sure thing. I'm a little uncertain about Tommy Turbo, so I think I'll be going the Teddy, possibly mid-range option there. So that was about the only thing I did with any conviction setting up my first side. So, and Jason Taumalolo, of course.
Of course.
We can't not have a Supercoach side without our boy Taumalolo in. No Michael Morgan for me this year. I don't know if I'll probably change that about 700 times throughout the year. I'll see him kill it in the trials or something. Lethal combination with new buyer Valentine Holmes and stick him in and hope for the best, but surely can't go worse than last year.
I think last year he was valued. I'm not too sure what he's valued at this year, but I think he was even cheaper
around
last year.
Yeah, 471k he is.
Yeah,
so
he was closer to 400 flat, I think, last year, and that was probably.
Oh, it looked like great value. We saw what he'd done with that.
I think I started with him last year as well. I think most people did, but I think I got off the.
You got off the train a little bit sooner than me. I stuck with him pretty much from round one to the end, so to the bitter end, and that's probably why I ended up 16,000th. But no, that's all good. We have one final point here, just on our little intro pod here. What would you do differently from last year? So obviously you finished up the top end. When you get to that point at the back end of the season, you've got a couple of hundred points to make up here. You start to go for some audacious moves and maybe some risky trades just to push the envelope a little bit. What's one thing you would change from last year, being someone that was at the top?
So my whole game plan, I'm really I'm really focused on base points per minute, and sometimes that can be a bit of a downfall as well, because obviously the aim of the game is to get the players that score the most points and try assist, etc., score you the most points. So sometimes I overlook how valuable that can be. And also over planning for the buy. I think everyone got caught with that, but I was just set for 15 to 17 for both buy rounds, because I just had a really, really good plan, and then obviously I had 5 or 6 injuries going my way, and so I was just scrambling to use all my trades really quickly to try and capitalize on that buy round, because I was hoping that would like get me even higher up the ladder. And it just, yeah, it just didn't pan out. And then also towards the end of the season, I had a solid 20 or 21 players, and so there were so many weeks where I was benching the wrong person. I remember Sivo, I had him in my team, but there was I think I versed you one week, and he was the difference. I think you got me that week, and he's just
lost to me last year.
And Sivo's just chilling on my bench, and he's got a ton, and maybe 120 or something like that. And I think that's me undervaluing the importance of scoring tries. I was just like, surely he can't do it every game, and he's kept doing it. So I think, yeah, not only looking at the stats and the base points, I've just got to look at who's in form and just keep thinking that could keep going, rather than thinking, surely he's scored too many and it'll dry up soon.
Mm.
I think I never got on Mamalo as well, and he had that awesome run, and everyone was just ranking in the points, and I was just like, surely it'll stop. Never did.
He sort of tailed off towards the end there. So I guess for my points, I finished well down the bottom, and by about, I think, the end of the buys, around 18, I was something like 5,000th. I thought I'll go hell for leather and just make some wild moves and pod moves and that sort of thing, and basically just panic trading and panic captaining and all that sort of thing. So I think one thing I'll do differently this year is definitely just learn to give up on some players. So like a guy like Michael Morgan, I had him there. I knew what he could do, but it was just, I couldn't bin him. Because there was always that thought like, oh, he's been in such bad form, like the opposite to what you said. So this guy's been in a bad run, but surely it's going to end soon. And it just never did. And the thing is, the longer you hold on to these players, the harder it is to let go. So I think for this season, one thing I'm going to do is just bite the bullet. So on this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the guys I'm kind of thinking they'll hang on, and I'm just going to burn some trades. Screw it, burn the trades, get rid of the underperformers in the side, and get the in-form guys. So that's one thing I'll do differently this year, but who knows, we'll see how we are. One big thing as well is just to get the year off to a good start, because it makes such a difference if you're burning trades super early. And sometimes that can just be luck, or you've picked the wrong mid-pricer, or you've missed out on a guy that's all of a sudden gone ballistic because he's got unseen minutes and stuff we didn't expect. So big thing is getting the team right.
Yeah, I think also with that one though, last year my round one score wasn't fantastic. I was still up in the top 10,000 at least, but there was a few players I was really jealous of. I think Tao Malolo got 99 in the first round, and I didn't start with him. And then everyone was just like, oh, like, look, we need to bring him in. He's going to make bulk coin.
You broke him. What about that game?
I didn't.
Suncorp Stadium.
Yes, that's right.
Came off about 20 minutes in. TPJ just belted him and he injured himself. And, everyone, it would have been thousands that traded him in.
Yeah, exactly.
Typical Supercoach.
And then I didn't make any trades after the first round. And my second round score was really, really good, and it popped me up into the top 2,000 or top 1,000 from the get-go. So just have faith in the team you pick at the start. You might not get it right every time, but just give it maybe a week or two. Like, I mean, that was probably the first year I didn't make trades after the first round, but I was really keen in my team, and I was just like, I just wanted to see what they could do in that second. I think there was Marty Tapau in the first round, didn't do too well either, and everyone's like, oh, he doesn't have an offload, and then I was so close to trading him out, kept him in, came back with like an 80 or something like that, offloaded like 5 times.
Hey, Marty Tapau, he had a very interesting year. We'll talk about him and a few other players in the team previews, but definitely one of those up and down sort of years for Big Marty, and typical of that like forward or the front row last season. There wasn't a lot of, outside of Payne Haas, like week to week, tough to like fits and guns in there. Fifita was up and down as well and injured, and it was a game he got like 13 and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a lottery in some positions last season, so we'll look to get that right coming forward. So just speaking on the plan, we did mention that we'll be doing some team previews over the coming weeks. So you and I will be getting back together to do the Cowboys, Titans and Panthers, the next podcast. And then following that will be me and Lakey. So Lakey, who does a bit of content for the website there, funny bloke. He'll be joining to talk about his beloved Knights, a few other teams, Eels, Warriors and Storm. And then we'll do Bulldogs, Sharks, Raiders, Broncos. Stick Manly in there as well, why not? There's not a lot going on there for them outside of the Turbos and a few others, but we'll go through them. And then finally, the Roosters, Souths, Dragons and Tigers. So 3 to 4 teams per pod over the coming weeks. So a bit of content, as well as we gear up towards the Nines and the Trials, we'll get back together and just chat on who we're seeing might be the breakout star for round one. There's a lot going on over the coming weeks, so I'm sure everyone is more than ready to get the season underway. It's been a long off season. We've tried a bit of Big Bash Supercoach. That's like almost impossible. I like week to week, and there's, you know, double game weeks and bye rounds, and like there's so much BBL.
I've given
it's,
up.
Oh mate, it's an absolute worry.
I've got English Premier League fantasy. I've played a lot of NFL fantasy, which is now finished, but I had a lot of other things to keep me busy.
Again, I don't know how you find the time to do all this and F45 nonsense and all that. But anyway, and then during the regular season, we'll have a few guests on. We'll try and get Wenon and Nick to come on every now and again when they've got the time, just to hear a familiar voice or two. But it'll be much the same. Our stake bets, beer bets, champings, tapping on the desk and getting hate mail for it, talking too much trash about the Broncos, all the usual stuff you know and love or hate on the NRL Supercoach Talk podcast. And one more thing, the really terrible beers. So next podcast, I'm sure you listened to us last year. We, Wenon and I, used to go find the worst looking, sounding, tasting beer that we could find and smash it on the podcast. So next pod, that's one thing I want from you, Benny G. Anything on your mind?
No, I'll try my best. I only drink good beers.
So. Nice and room temp. Maybe a nice VB long neck to start us off right. It is Australia Day coming up after all.
7:40.
That's it for us for the first NRL Supercoach Talk podcast for the year. Great to be back. Thank you, Benny G.
Yeah, thanks. It was great.
Hope enjoyed the debut and we'll hear from you next week. Cheers. Sure.
See ya.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.